Hey, welcome back. This is the Justin and Heidi Unfiltered podcast. I am Justin.
And I'm Heidi.
And it has been 1 week for you and 11 seconds for us.
Yeah, but he still forgot to say his last name, so.
I'm Metcalf. Metcalf, Justin, am I. You are how I do, Heidi. I do better. Yeah.
That's funny. A lot of stuff.
I think this is what people like about us. This is why they tune in.
Maybe. Or they're annoyed and they stop listening.
We don't want to talk about those people.
Okay. We're down to five.
Hopefully we figure out who they are and then we can talk to them. And then they don't know. We are back talking about client attraction and client retention. We talked about client attraction last week. And so today it's all going to be about retention. So in my field of work for the last 5 years, I worked for a distributor, and a major part of my job was coaching. I would coach, at least it was the most fun part of my job. I loved it. Mentoring and coaching stylists on how to grow their business. One of the single most important things that we learned time and time again is rebook. You rebook your guest. I worked with a lot of people who went to a lot of different schools. They just got out of school or they've been out 10 years or 20 years. I didn't feel like it was something that was strongly emphasized in any certain school or any specific time. I just don't think that it's a huge thing that's discussed in school. So I think there's definitely a gap, and there's still too many hairdressers that don't understand the importance of rebook.
Right.
So.
Well, and I'll say this. So one of the things that I learned early on in my career was what I like to do and what I wanted on my books to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more I had what I like to do on my books, the less opportunity for things I didn't like doing to get on my books. So one of those things, and I like barbering. I like doing men's haircuts. That's mm-hmm. I still do, actually. And so that's one of those things that I like to rebook. But a lot of guys are like, I don't know when I want to get my next haircut. I get it cut when I know I need it. I'm like, okay, well, you've consistently come about every 4 or 5 weeks. So what if we just rebook you for a day and time that works for you in 4 weeks? And if you want to wait an extra week, text me and we'll push it a week. And they're like, okay, fine, yeah. Let's do it. I'm telling you, I retained those clients the longest and the most, because once they were like, oh yeah. And then it was time for, like, my hair was bugging me. And then I got a text for my appointment. It was awesome. And it worked because, I mean, we just try to make sure it's always on a day or a time that they know they're just going to be home after work, or they're, you know, just different things. But it's getting your clients used to rebooking too.
Right.
So
training them. Yeah.
So one of the other things is, I mean, there's a lot of women that are the same way too.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll have a babysitter. I don't know if I'll have okay, well, when is your husband usually home? And if it's that important to you, and it's important to your husband that you get done what you want done too.
Yeah.
They'll be home.
Yeah.
Like then you can plan around it.
Right.
And so I think a lot of times people who don't want to rebook are the ones that are like, well, I don't even know what I'm going to do in 8 weeks. Well, now you do. You're getting your hair done. Yeah. Look around that.
Yeah.
But I also let them know, like, if we need to move it, just text me. It doesn't mean you're going to get right back in again, always.
Right.
But at least you know it's coming up and it's about time. And yeah. You'll see that on your calendar. And you'll either schedule around it because you see that you have that. Or you'll call me and be like, oh, we got this coming up. Can I change it? We'll just change it. No harm, no foul.
That goes back to the training your client as well, though. Because if you've got somebody who, when you tell them, hey, if that ends up not working out, just let me know. And they reach out and say, yeah, I can't do it next week. Do you have the week after? No, I don't. But here's what I do have. And they may only do that once.
Right.
Because the next time when they rebook, they remember, yeah, I need to rebook because Heidi fills up fast.
Right.
And so that's, again, going into the training your guest. But What I liked is that in that spiel that you gave, you went over at least two really important selling techniques. And one of them is, it's a closing technique. When someone says, no, I don't need to rebook, I'll just call you. Well, why don't we put you on a schedule? And if you have to change it later, that's fine. That's a sales technique.
Yeah.
You know, we're taught to do that in sales very early on because it's a very strong technique. And it's providing a service that you know they want, but it's getting over a silly obstacle. It's an obstacle it's like a knee-jerk reaction. Do you want to do this thing? No, I do not. You don't really know why you don't want to do it, though, do you? That's just what you say. You want to rebook? Stop asking, do you want to rebook? Right?
Right. Honestly, especially with most of my clients, it was kind of one of those, so I've noticed you like to come about every whatever it is, 5 weeks. What if we just put you down for 5 weeks? Is this day and time work good for you?
Yeah.
Almost every time. Yeah. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
If you need to reschedule, just let me know.
You know, I thought that I'd do a whole podcast episode on the psychology of the cape. Can we talk about it right now?
Sure.
Because we'll also talk about it when we're doing podcasts on selling retail. So instead of doing a podcast on the psychology of the cape, I'm just going to add it to these. So what I found very, very intriguing that was taught to me by a very prominent hairstylist is the psychology of the cape and why it's important to have these conversations while the cape is on. And this can be likened to a lot of different industries. When you're in the sales moment, during the sales flow, there's a point when it starts and there's a point when it stops. For us, for this industry, when your guest has, when you've finished, you've done all the blow drying, you take off the cape and you're cleaning everything off, what's on their mind?
The next thing.
Yeah. The next thing could be a myriad. It could be 12 different things. Now they're trying to juggle that. But while they have the cape on, they're in the moment. So that's how it works. That psychology is they're still with you. They're still engaged. So these conversations need to happen while the cape is on.
Now, I would change this just slightly.
Okay.
Depending on the work environment you're in.
Okay.
Because that is very true. If you work in the type of environment where once you take the cape off, they're handed off to a different person.
Yeah.
I work in a one-woman show. I work in a suite by myself. I take the cape off all the time.
Yeah.
We are not done. They're not on to their next thing. They're right. On to paying. So when do I bring it up? Before they pay me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's the same psychology, but it doesn't necessarily relate to the cape.
Yeah.
Because I do take the cape off. However, I'm not passing them on.
Yes.
And that's the difference.
But you also have cultivated pretty strong sales skills.
Yes. And I will say, because I've worked all of those. I've worked commission. I've worked booth rent. I've worked in salons and I've worked by myself. Mm-hmm. When I worked commission, I would say that conversation happened as I was walking them to the front desk saying, yeah. You know, I think we should rebook you. Here's Jen. She's going to schedule your next appointment for about 5 weeks.
Right.
If you need to change that or, you know, if we need to reschedule that, here's my card.
Yeah.
Right?
I think to answer your question, yes, right. That is correct for you and for the people who have very similar personalities. And I think for a lot of people who just that doesn't seem like it's going to work for them, mm-hmm. It's because as soon as it starts to get awkward for them and that social anxiety starts to come in, that's going to be a harder conversation for them to have. And it's going to be harder to convince themselves to make those steps and to have that conversation, which is why you need to say it when they're in the chair.
Right.
So I think the point is you figure out a system that works for you.
Correct.
Based on your personality, your ability to sell, whether or not you see it as sales, it is.
Right.
And a third thing probably that I forgot right after I said the second thing. But anyway, so if you don't have a system that works effectively, try this.
Right.
So while they have the cape on, and you might be thinking, well, how am I going to talk about rebooking while they have the cape? That doesn't seem natural. You can drop it in at any time.
Totally.
I mean, especially, I think a great time is when you're doing the finishing. Maybe not when the blow dryer's on, but you're spraying stuff, like you're finishing the job. That's when you should be talking about, like, at-home care, how you're going to recreate this look at home, and maintenance. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
A massive part of maintenance is when you need to have the next upkeep done professionally in the salon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I will say this. I have learned that for me, it's not enough to say, okay, so you need to come back in 6 weeks and get this done again. I have learned that you need to say 6 weeks is going to be November 12th.
Yeah.
So that's right before the holidays.
Right.
And when you start to put it in those contexts too, when you give it an actual like daytime month, then they're going, oh, wait, I have a trip booked November 19th. That's actually perfect. Or I know I'm going to be out of town on the 12th. Actually, I want my hair done before that.
Right.
So then you start getting into their head even more.
Right.
When you actually, because you say 6-8 weeks, that's like December. Yeah. And it's like June.
Well, you're into their head because you're breaking
it down.
You're breaking it down. Whether you understand it or not, and whether you agree with this or not, you're wrong, because this is objective truth. When someone goes to an appointment for their hair, their mind has already created for them the basics of what to expect, which means they've already created the responses in their head, because that's how our brains work. What we're expecting is for the cape to come off and for them to say, do you want to rebook? And if you haven't really thought about it, you'll just say, no, I'll just call you.
I'll call you when I'm ready.
And this is the kind of person who just, you stay away from that kind of thing, and you know it's important, and that's great. But when you put the question the way that you do, you break it. The brain had not planned on that specific question. When they say, hey, your next appointment's going to be November 12th. Would 1 o'clock work for you? Their brain's going, oh, I have a new question. And they're thinking, what am I doing on November 12th? Some people know automatically. Like you said, oh, I'm on a cruise. I'm going to be in, you know, out of town or whatever. It forces their brain to go to a productive moment. And that's what we want to do. So do things differently.
Do things differently. And this is where, again, I learned early on in my career, this is where I started to really dictate my schedule. Right. Yeah. So I learned early on when I booked people for, say, Mother's Day weekend, and it was a mother,
mm-hmm.
I was always going to get a cancellation and then not be working on that day because they didn't realize it was Mother's Day weekend.
Right.
So when I am booking my clients, I am looking at all the holidays, my school district, their calendar.
Yeah.
Oh, your kids have school off that day. Maybe you could come earlier.
Yeah.
Teachers. Oh, you're out of school that weekend. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do it on a different weekend? You might go out of town because they're not in town. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But when you start to really dictate your schedule that way, like even for the holidays, like people, oh, it's going to be the holidays. I'm not going anywhere. So if you want to book it, we can. But if you're going to be out of town, and then they actually are like, I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, let's book it.
Yeah.
But they also want to know that I'm not going to cancel.
Yeah.
Or that I'm not going to be. But yeah, when I really started like paying attention to the nuances of what's happening in my own life, not only in my own life, but in the world, like normal Mother's Day weekend for Utah conference weekend, like those things play into it.
Yeah.
So I learned early on, I can actually know for a fact my clients aren't going to reschedule because I've already taken out most of the like that we know.
Right. The possible objections they're not thinking of.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. And a lot of people should do that.
Yeah.
And it's not all that difficult.
It's not that difficult. I mean, the things that do change that is like work schedules. If something comes up at work, we're sick.
Yeah.
Death in the family.
Those are going to happen.
Like those things happen.
Yeah.
And that, but that's where it's like, I have very little cancellations.
Yeah.
I have people that move all the time, but they're not last minute. Like, I hardly ever have a last minute. I almost always know.
Right.
And that I always have that person that I can call and fill that spot with because they're fine with their appointment the way it is. But if you can get me,
Yeah.
and it's like, heck yeah, I'll call you.
That's a great system to have. I think I would argue, hopefully you'd agree, that it takes a long time to get to that point, though. And you've probably cultivated that over, 20 some odd years.
I mean, I've perfected it, but it didn't take me that long to get.
Okay.
But that's because it doesn't take that long to figure out how to do that.
I see what you mean. Yeah. So the next thing I was thinking of is when you, I remember there for a long time, you had your book that was on paper. You did your books manually with a pencil, and it was also our calendar for everything. I would see you every day texting your guests the day before.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an argument that can be made that that should happen. Like,
That's just a no-brainer.
it is.
And here's the reason why I think, especially now, everything's automated.
Yeah.
But I still go in to see, did they get it? Did they confirm?
Yeah.
Because if they don't have that green check, my system is a green check,
Yeah.
then I still text them.
That's
Hey, don't forget your appointment's
awesome.
tomorrow. And why do I do this? Because as much as I have an alarm for everything in my phone, everything has an alarm to it. And as much as I think I'm going to remember something and it's in my calendar, when you get that text the day before, not only is it in your calendar, it's in your brain calendar.
Exactly.
So if you're
Yeah.
not texting your guest and you are getting no-showed, or you're just relying on your system to do it and you're not double-checking your system,
Yep.
that's on
That's
you.
the disconnect. It is a controllable behavior.
That's on you.
And there are some people who it makes them feel icky to do that. These are the little things that you need to do that take very little time that make a big impact on your business.
Yeah.
And you use Mevo too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There are a lot of great systems out there,
So many.
and they all the good ones at least, they have very similar systems. A reminder feature is
That's
crucial.
standard. If you have a
It is.
system that doesn't have that system is archaic.
Yeah, don't do that
Like,
anymore.
you might want to switch. It's probably not going to be around very much longer.
But my point was that you can't just rely on that to get people in your chair.
No.
And I love that you have a system just to double check. And it probably just doesn't take a whole lot of time or effort, but you go to see, have they gotten the text and confirmed, right?
Mm
Should also check the verbiage too, because if the verbiage is wonky and almost encourages people to cancel, I've had some stuff like that. I can't remember if it was like a doctor's appointment, but the way I read it was like, are you sure you want to come to your appointment?
Right.
I mean, just make sure the verbiage is right.
We have you scheduled for to this day, this time. I mean,
Right.
it doesn't have to be extensive. They just need to
No.
make sure.
Please click to confirm.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you're telling yourself, oh yeah, okay, it's in your brain for tomorrow, like you said. It's also telling your stylist, hey, I remember, I'll be there,
Right.
because you're depending on them to be there.
Right.
So I love that the people who haven't checked, you reach out to and you text.
Yep.
Love that.
And I'm someone who does two forms of reminders, right? They get an email 2 days before, but then they get a text the day before.
Yeah.
And they get both. And the reason why is like I'll know 2 days before whether they got it because the people who are email people, they're clicking on it 2 days before.
Right.
But the people who aren't email people, who are text people, they're clicking on it the day before. Doesn't matter to me. I really don't care. That's why I do both.
Right.
But the text is just that second. Now it's in my brain for, because most people are going to look at their text 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So that text is the like, now it's in my brain for tomorrow,
Right.
even though they got the email.
Yeah, I don't remember where I heard this. There was even a study done, but like people, the way they view emails is just different from the way they view texts.
Yeah.
It's like there's somebody at your door versus there's somebody in their car down the street. That's how urgent.
Right.
So if you're thinking about this right now and you don't have a system set up to have these alerts, what you should do is pause this right now and go into your software and get it set up. If you use a prominent software,
they're all going to
have one. Vigaro, Square, Mevo.
I mean, if you don't know what we're even talking about, you know, DM us.
Yeah, for real. Reach out to us. And hopefully we'll get royalties from the companies that we refer you to.
We're not that cool yet.
No, we're not that cool yet. But so go, and I've also found when you go to the help section, a lot of these really great companies, they've got very simple tutorials written or on video to show you how to do it.
I mean, they probably all have a YouTube video, honestly.
Yeah. They want you to succeed.
Yeah. They want their software to succeed.
They do. They want you to stay paying them once a month for 100 years. So they're going to have a way for you to do this. So don't let this challenge stop you. Break the barrier. Be the 20% and figure it out.
But even if you don't, even if you're still doing paper and pencil, I had it still automated in my phone. I have text replacement. Every phone does text replacement.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I would type in three letters and it would type out the whole thing for me. Mm-hmm. All I had to do was add in a date and time.
Yeah.
It literally did not take me longer than maybe a minute to 2 minutes to confirm my appointments for the next day.
Yeah.
If you can't find 2 minutes in your day, I promise you, you can when you have a 20-minute no-show.
Yeah.
If you're lucky. Usually it's longer than 20 minutes.
Yeah. All right. So next we're going to talk about guest experience a little bit. And I think in a lot of our topics, we can go into guest experience because it's all encompassing. But specifically for client retention, they're going to want to be there.
Right. But again, I think this comes back to target market. Okay. I've had guests before that they don't like head massages. They don't like the extra things.
Yeah. That's so weird.
I know, right? But there are people that don't like that.
Sure.
So it's, again, it comes back to your target market and what are they expecting that keeps them coming back and being consistent with what you do.
Yeah, I agree. I just thought of something. I was working with a colleague at a Phoenix Salon Suites. They weren't in my area, but I remember we were going, you know, I was just more open and he wanted to kind of see how I talk to people and whatever. So we walked into this one suite and it was very clear to me that this stylist, she loved semi-color. She loved vibrant colors. Her wallpaper was all of her old tubes or the paper or the boxes from her Pulp Riot colors. So she had turned it into, it was all of her wallpaper, floor to ceiling on two of her walls. It was awesome. That told me very clearly what kind of hair she loved to do and who her target market was. And that ambiance catered to that.
Right.
So when you've got your guests in your chair and that's the kind of person you're like, what you've got around you makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And you're right. The little extra things that you do make a difference.
Right.
So a lot of more upscale, classy type, you know, people that are working mothers or, you know, maybe more affluent. I think a mini fridge makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Don't you have, you've got one.
I do.
You've got,
but it's stocked with water.
And Diet Coke.
No.
Because we're in Utah.
No.
Oh, I should always have Diet Coke.
No. My clients drink water.
That's awesome. I just wanted to throw in my joke.
Well, they all bring in their Stanleys of Diet Coke if they're Diet Coke drinkers. I don't need to provide it.
That's a good point. But other little amenities like that, what else comes to mind?
Well, and that's why I say it's your target market. So like, depending on who you're catering to and what their likes are and what your likes are, like you might have the espresso martini drinks or the specialty drinks that they're going to provide for that service or that day, that for whatever season it is. They've got one for summer, one for winter, one for Christmas. You know, that's not my target market.
Right.
So like, again, my mini fridge is full of water because whenever I ask my guests, hey, can I grab you a drink? They all say water.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because they know that's what I've had, but I've had other drinks in there and I'm the one that ends up drinking them. And then I'm like, I don't even drink that. I drink water.
Right.
So, but like giving a scalp massage, I do that at the shampoo bowl. But whatever it is you do, you have to be consistent with.
I agree.
So yeah. If you do a great scalp massage at the Shampoo Bowl, you got to do it for everyone.
Right.
If you do a great consultation is a huge retainer, right? Like, yeah. If you do a great consultation and you're understanding them and they're understanding you and you're like, that's a great guest retention tool.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever you do, you got to do it consistently.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a fridge stocked with waters, you got to have a fridge stocked with waters.
Because they come to expect it.
Totally. Yeah. And that could be like,
it's a nice touch.
My stylist has a fridge stocked with waters. You should go see her. Or they do this espresso martini. You should go see them. They have this basket full of, you know, treats for long appointments. So you should go, you know, that could be the selling point for somebody, but it could also be the not selling point for somebody. Like, maybe they care more that, no, my hairdresser asks me every single time what I want my hair color, you know, to be, or they explain everything so well to me and put it in terms I understand. Like, whatever it is you do, you just have to make sure you're doing it consistently with everyone.
Yeah, I agree. You know, before we finish, I want to share two examples of salons who do this really, really well that I know of. The first is the Balayage Studio downtown.
We're in Salt Lake, he's talking about Utah.
Downtown, yeah, we're in Utah. If they don't know by now, I mean, all the silly Utah jokes. And yeah, we're in Utah. So anyway, their shop is right next to a coffee shop. When I say right next to, I mean, if you need to use a restroom, you step into this shared hallway and you go to use the restroom, but then you walk around the corner and the coffee shop's there. I suggested that they put a hole in the wall and it just be like a little walk.
A window.
Yeah.
Can I get a...
But what she does is they offer that to their guests.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, what are you drinking today? I'm going to go grab it at the... it's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really cool thing. And that was like her diamond in the rough. Not everybody has that opportunity. So make that a focal point, because there are a lot of people that are going to be drawn to that.
Oh, yeah.
Such an awesome amenity.
Yeah.
Another one that does it really, really well is Rochelle's Salon and Day Spa. Okay. These people they're amazing. And they're, you should pay us. T, if you're listening, you should pay us for the shout out. But so their spa is gorgeous. It's amazing. You walk in, it's so serene. It's beautiful. The feeling is very calm. And then when you walk into the salon, it stays that way. It's very posh, very upscale. And they have this really, really amazing system. Right above them is Kimmy's Chop House. So they're on the first floor. And then the salon's down in the basement. And so they have the ability to get cocktails at certain times of the day. And they just walked in, and there's beautiful spiral staircase that connects the restaurant and the spa. It is so cool. And they've also created this thing where, and maybe you can't get a drink at 10 a.m., but if you want a hair service done, you know, their mint julep is like a specific kind of scalp massage and conditioning treatment. Brilliant. But that's like their diamond in the rough. It's what sets them apart. It's an amenity that very few people have, and it's something that can get, that can target a lot of people if you get them to talk about it. Like, how awesome was this very unique experience? And if you're an experiential person, we've learned a lot of very passionate people are, if not everybody, tell them about it. Tell your friends, because I guarantee you, very few people have a coffee shop next door. They can just walk around the back corner and get you a coffee or get you a freaking martini from a full-blown restaurant right upstairs. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So those came to mind specifically.
But those are things that, like you said, those are very demographic.
Very unique.
You got to be, yeah, like you can plan. If you're building a salon, look at those things.
Yeah.
But you can't, that's not in your control. That's not in your sphere of control.
Right. That's more of, that's how they capitalized on something that was available to them.
Right. So, and of course, all of those things are what you want to look for. But like, I mean, it's the number one real estate rule: location, location, location.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you have to be in that location. If that's something you want to offer, then yeah, you're going to look for that. as a stylist, you're going to look for that opportunity. If that's the target market you're searching for, if that's the vibe you're going for. But even if you're in the perfect location and they're located in the perfect place and they have those amenities, if you're not being consistent with what you're doing to their hair and to for them behind the chair, I don't care how well that mint julep is or how great that drink is. They won't come back.
Right.
If you're not doing all of the other things that matter, they're there for hair.
Every time you do a good job, so you're regularly educating yourself, you know what you're doing, you've got good quality supplies. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, because you can have a beautiful salon with a great ambiance, but if their services
if you're a dick.
But if their services aren't even meeting up to the environment, if you go in to get your hair done and you walk out hating it, you're not going to go back.
Right. I agree. There's a lot of factors. And this is really the whole point of the example is just to say this is one extra thing that you can use to set yourself apart, but it shouldn't be the pillar of your success.
No.
So,
because your client retention, although that is a great amenity and it's a great thing to have, just like having the espresso martini or just like having a fridge full of water, that's not the thing that's going to actually keep them coming back.
Right. The drink would have to be pretty darn good.
They'd have to be blasted enough to not know that their hair sucks for like 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, for real. Well, I think this episode went really, really well. What do you think?
I liked it.
Yeah. That's what we've got for client retention. We'll keep going on with other topics as we move forward, but, thanks again for tuning in. We really appreciate it. I have been Justin Metcalf. Said my name that time.
Good job.
And you are.
Why are we doing this all of a sudden at the end?
That's right. We did it at the beginning. That's awkward. Well, anyway, thanks for listening. It's always a barrel of laughs here.
So funny.
A barrel of laughs, a barrel of monkeys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
I'm never going to stop pushing. I'm not going to push stop until you say bye. So thank you. Bye. I love you.